The ANC Secretary General, Mr. Isma Khashule, obviously having to answer questions about some very interesting, at the very minimum, and I put it that way, interesting choices on that particular list. This is what he had to say.
In the list, is Nombula Batavile?
She is, they are. Okay. She is in the list. They are all in the list. They are qualified. Anybody who has not been found guilty by a court of law is on the list. People who have said you are not fit to be in the list, we had a list of 867 people, which has to be trimmed down to 200 for our own purpose, to 300 as a reserve list. And there are people who could not actually make it because of allegations. Because the courts of law had judgments against them. And we said, in terms of the law, if you are found guilty of not more than 12 months and a fine, you are allowed to be on the list.
So that, of course, was the Secretary General of the ANC, Mr. Isma Khashule, trying to clarify what is the threshold for being on that list. I don't know. Then how does Tony Yengeni get on that list? Maybe I should ask Tapelo. Tapelo, good evening and thank you for joining us, man.
Evening. Thank you. Evening to your listeners as well.
So Tapelo, as far as I know, Tony Yengeni turned down his nomination or his addition to the list. Very interesting then that the threshold, based on what Mr. Makhashule told us now, you know, any sort of conviction that amounts to less than 12 months or fine makes you, you know, eligible for being on that list. If I'm not mistaken, Mr. Yengeni surely had a longer sentence than 12 months?
Look, I'm not quite sure of the particulars of Mr. Yengeni, but certainly the ANC is looking at constitutional and both and again legislative prescripts. So to that extent, it's looking at obviously minimum requirements for one to be a member of the legislative or parliamentary body, and obviously that's quite understandable given the litany of history that they've had with regards to corruption and perceptions around corruption and so on. But if that is the case with regards to Mr. Tony Yengeni, you have to also look at the case in KZN, where I think the provincial secretary had also recused his name from the list as well. And I think that may be also pervasive in other provinces, as one may find. You may find also instances in Eastern Cape. But obviously we'll have a clearer picture once we move towards the 21st of this month, once those lists are then made public or the IEC has managed to verify those names.
No, fair enough. And the only reason why I'm bringing that up and asking that question anyway is because obviously there should be some vetting done at political party level before you just pass it on to the IEC. I mean, the last thing that you want is for the IEC to disqualify half of the people on your list, and then, you know, you have to go over to that reserve list. But let's get straight into it. I mean, let's call a spade here. I think with Tumamina, the New Dawn, and all of that jazz, also we're seeing, obviously, these massive moves towards holding people to account, whether it be the very same Zondo Commission or any of the other commissions that we've spoken about this evening. The fact of the matter is that there is this belief or this air that it's almost a renewed ANC that we're looking at. Can't be all that renewed when you have the likes of Batabile Dlamini, Nomvulo Makanyane, Malusi Gigaba, and people like that still appearing on this particular list and then still accepting the nominations and in all likelihood possibly making it into Parliament one day.
Look, I think the Tumamina phenomenon, in a sense, is an attempt to centralize the logic of law, the logic of the centrality of the rule of law. And that's not always going to work at the party political level. I think that's one of the variables or one of the, you know, logics that I think when it comes to the issues of deployment will obviously play a role. But there will have to be also political logic. Those who have constituency inside the ANC have to be reflected at parliamentary or legislative levels. Issues around generational mix, issues around educational attainment, issues around articulations of, you know, what we now saw recently in the SABC, people, you know, they struggled to articulate what the fourth industrialization mean. So I think the difficulties around the Tumamina phenomenon. So, for instance, you have to look at the political logic, the legal logic. So, at least the prescripts around the constitutional minimum requirements for those to be members of parliament are observed. So, if you look at the issue of generational mix, I think the ANC was looking at all of those issues. If you saw again in the press, or rather in the video by SG, he talked about the issue of making sure that the SASCO people there, the members of the ANC Youth League, members of SANCO, broadly he's talking about what is then called in the ANC as the mass democratic movement. So I think he's able to, once we obviously see the list, I think the ANC has been able to look at all sort of variables in lieu of what has been happening with issues around corruption and perceptions around corruption, particularly also looking at provincial and national government.
I hear what you're saying, but the difficulty that I'm sitting with right now is that, A, we talk about the ANC often referred to as the broad church, which means that there should be depth. I always think of the ANC sort of like the all black rugby squad, you know, depth. There is, if this fly off is, if his leg is broken, you have three or four other people waiting in the wings that's equally as, if not more competent. And I'm assuming that is what the ANC sort of should be able to deliver in the first place, in the first instance. That's point one. Point two, also, what I'm also having difficulty with is this threshold. Because I hear what you're saying is that obviously any legal system, any democracy is going to put in a threshold that says that these are the minimum requirements. But are we literally looking for minimum requirements here? Are we literally saying that, listen, you're the most popular candidate and because you meet the minimum requirements, we're not going to second guess you whatsoever and we're just going to put you on the list? Or shouldn't any political party respect me enough as a voter to say that, listen, you dude, we can't go with the minimum possible requirements. We actually need to uphold some value. We need to actually show Gershwal some respect by saying to him that we're putting forward the best possible candidate.
Look, I agree with you. I think ideally you'd want a situation where, you know, potential candidates or candidates are able to go beyond the minimum requirements. I think for me, part of the problem with the list, well, at least the names that was mentioned by SG, is the one of Nomvula. I mean, just a few years ago, her statement around, you know, well, you can take your votes, you know, somewhere, I think it was a part of Gauteng. I think that did damage to the party. Particularly also there was then the statement, I'm just forgetting who had made it, as a member of cabinet, around the issues of, well, the Aziz Smolanyana skeletons. No, that was actually Batabile. So
it was Batabile,
sort of comment, yes, you wouldn't want, obviously, a candidate that's not able to, one, understand the sensitivities around developmental issues around water, electricity. It's a big issue right now, particularly around issues of housing as well. So that's the first thing. So I agree with you. Ideally, you'd want to have more than minimum requirements. And I think, given the problems within the ANC, it should go beyond minimum requirements.
And if I can just add to that,
who should be its candidates?
And if you don't mind, if I could just add to that, I mean, surely also you don't want to have a situation whereby, the threshold is a criminal conviction or being found guilty within a criminal court, but any other court, I mean, the constitutional court basically, said that it was because of Patabile Dlamini's doing that we find ourselves in the situation that we did with the SASA grant situation, that it was another court found that Melusi Gigaba was in fact a liar. I mean, those are serious indictments. And in my opinion, that should be a situation where you sit down with these people and you say that even though you're not sitting behind bars or you're not facing the possibility of sitting behind bars at this stage, we can't put you on we can't have you sitting in parliament representing the party.
Look, I think part of the issue or the thing by the ANC is that it's unable to draw a line in the sand. It's unable to say, actually, we disagree with your posture on this matter. We disagree how you position yourself. We disagree that you brought the integrity of the ANC into district. But it's not able to draw that line in the sand. And I think that's a big gaping hole in the ANC's deployment position. But the one that I mentioned earlier on is the issue around competence, you know, whereas if one, two, or three candidates are not so competent, then at least there's three or four or five candidates waiting in the wings. Part of the problem, again, for the ANC is that it does not purely go on that logic. Like I said earlier on, there would be logics that would be political in nature, that, okay, well, this person is in...
Tabelo, unfortunately, mate, I hear the point on the depth issue, but I will have to leave it there because of time. I really thank you all for your time this evening. Thank you so much, man. That was Thapelo Tselaperi, political analyst. Really wish, and I will definitely have him on again at some other time. It's 9 o'clock now.